Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January the 25th. I don't know if I'm the only person who feels this way, but where has the month of January gone? I mean, we are already in the last week of January. And it just seems like yesterday that we were in the last week of November 2021. And honestly, for some of us, it seems like we're still in 2020. So I tell you, time is flying, time is flying, time is flying. I don't know what it means, but time is, at least it feels like it's flying. The same clock, same 24 hours, same 7 days a week as always. But it just seems like time is absolutely flying. We've had a beautiful day here in North Texas, just absolutely beautiful day. I don't know what else to say other than that, just an absolutely beautiful day. It was in the low 50s, mid-50s in the afternoon. I mean, just absolutely beautiful. But they tell us it's going to get a little colder in the next couple of days. I'll let you know. I'll let you know if that prediction comes true, because sometimes their predictions, honestly, do not come true. What a shock. They make wrong predictions when it comes to the weather. What a shock. Well, let me begin by telling you that I have a post over at the American Thinker Tuesday morning, and I'm talking about Representative Henry Cuellar of South Texas. Henry Cuellar represents a district right there on the border. It includes the city of Laredo. It is generally a Democrat district. Mr. Cuellar was reelected the last time with 58% of the vote. So, you know, you can safely refer to him as a safe Democrat. And all things being equal, this would be a pretty safe seat for the Democrats here in Texas. Well, Mr. Cuellar has been surprised a little bit. I don't know if he was expecting this or not, but certainly in the news coverage, we were all surprised that the FBI is looking into Mr. Cuellar. They came by his house and picked up some documents. Maybe they picked up a computer. I don't know, but the FBI is looking at Mr. Cuellar. Now, we don't know what for. We don't know what for. The allegations in the news media is that this has something to do with some business connections or some businessmen from one of the old Soviet republics. I don't remember which country it was, but one of those countries, not one that we hear a great deal about, not Ukraine, in other words, but one of those countries. And apparently the FBI is looking into it. This is the allegation. Nothing has been made public. And we don't know if there's anything to this or not. But obviously, when the FBI knocks on your door, they usually have some reason for doing so. And we definitely want to give Mr. Cuellar the benefit of the doubt, obviously. He is guilty or innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty, and that's the way it works in our system. But what's happened, though, is that the fact that he's under investigation and the fact that there may be some bad news, we don't know, but, you know, there may be, all of a sudden has made his seat not as predictable for the Democrats as it may have been. And now you've got a situation where the Democrats may end up having to defend a seat or a congressional district on the border that maybe they weren't going to have to defend before. We will see how it goes, but I will tell you one thing about Henry Cuellar. He is by far one of the few Democrats who makes any sense whatsoever on the border. This is a man who understands that countries have borders and they have to defend them. He has been very critical of the Biden administration and their approach to the border. He has been very critical of the Vice President Harris, and the fact that she has never really been to the border. And he has even publicly said a couple of times that, you know, he's never been contacted by the Vice President. So, you know, some are alleging that his criticism of the Biden administration may be behind the FBI. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. I really don't buy that, because the truth is this is a seat that the Democrats cannot afford to lose in what should be a pretty good Republican year, especially on the border, down in the border area. So we will see how this unfolds. You know, we will see what happens. But it is interesting. It is interesting how a representative, in this case a Democrat, who thought that, you know, he was going to be coasting to a re-election may not be doing so. Especially if information from the FBI comes out that compromises him or his family or whatever it may be. You know, surprises. That's why it's so difficult to predict in politics, because there are always surprises. They will happen. All of a sudden, a surprise happens, and, well, we know what that means. But Henry Cuellar, keep an eye on that story. Henry Cuellar, I have a post over at the American Thinker about this today. Just keep an eye on that story. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Did you see that little video of President Biden and Peter Ducey of Fox News? I think it is Peter Ducey. I know it's Ducey, but I think it is Peter Ducey. He is the White House correspondent for Fox News. And did you see that little back and forth between them? Peter Ducey said something about inflation, and President Biden pretty much said something nasty about him. Not something you want to repeat on the radio. But nevertheless, you know, later President Biden, to his credit, called Peter Ducey and apologized. I'm glad to see that. But, you know, when something like this happens, when you see a president react like this, what that tells me is that there's a very high level of frustration in this White House. I mean, very high level of frustration, because a lot of things are not going their way, and they don't seem to get better. And this situation with Ukraine, well, that's not something they want to be dealing with. I mean, who does? The situation in Ukraine is sort of a no-win situation for the White House, because they know that there is no spirit or stomach in the country for a military conflict right now. They know better than anybody that there is no support whatsoever in the country for any military operation in Ukraine. Not that there should be. I mean, I don't think there should be. Right now, there's none. There's absolutely no interest whatsoever. He doesn't even have, I don't think he even has votes in his own party for a military operation there. So anyway, so he really doesn't have anything he can do. Now, he can play the economic sanctions. He can play that. And the economic sanctions would be devastating to Russia, no question about it. But the economic sanctions are a two-way street. They would also be devastating to the West, because there would be an interruption of commerce, interruption of commercial activities and all of that. And probably the biggest of all the consequences would be the price of oil, that the price of oil will go up if this situation in Ukraine really gets bad. I mean, right now, all we have is Putin barking a lot. All we have is Putin making a lot of noise. We really have he hasn't made his move yet. And I happen to be one of those who thinks that he may not make his move, because, again, the economic consequences of going into Ukraine are going to be very severe for Russia. And people say, well, Putin doesn't care. Well, he better care, because he could get overthrown from within. But anyway, I'm going to say that he's probably not going to do it, but it's a close call. I mean, it's a 50-50 situation. But there's no question that it would have an impact on the price of gasoline in the West. And in the United States, I tell you, the price of gasoline has already gone up from $2 to $3 right now in the Dallas, Texas area. I see gasoline for $3.09. That's pretty expensive for us. We're not accustomed to that. And then, of course, you've got the inflation that follows gasoline prices. So I don't know if he's going to go in, but if he does, even the talk of Putin going into Ukraine, I think has had an impact on the markets and has made things very unstable for President Biden. So if you're wondering why President Biden reacted the way he did to Peter Doocy of Fox News, the guy is under tremendous amount of pressure, tremendous amount of pressure. This administration is under a tremendous, tremendous amount of pressure. Now, there was a story today in the news about Russia and Cuba. Now, those of you who remember the last 50 years, you know that Russia, or then the Soviet Union, and Cuba had a very close relationship. Cuba was basically a satellite nation of the old Soviet Union. It kind of broke up after the Soviet Union collapsed because the new Russia was not going to subsidize Cuba anymore. And Yeltsin and some of the other leaders, Gorbachev, Yeltsin, they were not really interested in bailing out Cuba anymore. So there was a certain distance between the new Russia and Cuba. But it appears right now that Putin is interested, according to some news reports, you know, developing that relationship a little bit more. Now, what could he get out of Cuba? Well, he may obviously, you know, there is some trade, I suppose. The beaches of Cuba are always beautiful. But I think that it's a couple of things. One is he wants to, you know, stick his finger at the United States. But also, Cuba does have some very strategic and good ports for what could be the Russian Navy. So that could be an attraction to Putin. But it's interesting that all of a sudden Putin is talking about Cuba. And at the same time, he's talking about Ukraine. At the same time that we're hearing China and Taiwan. At the same time that we're hearing Iran, you know, acting up as they always do. All these things seem to be happening. And all these things, I think, are a consequence of the perception that Joe Biden is a very weak leader and that this is a very, very weak administration, an administration that will not stand up to them. And so they're going to take whatever advantage they're going to take. You know, as I said one time, a year ago, we had cheap gasoline. We had energy independence. We did not have troops in Ukraine. And we had a much better situation on the border. And a year after Biden, all of those things are honestly a total complete mess. And now you've got, as I said, Putin looking at Cuba. That's nothing more but a finger in your face of the United States by President Putin of Russia. We're going to go back in history to this day in 1978, so that would make it 44 years ago. 44 years ago, my goodness, how time travels, because I remember this. 44 years ago, the number one album in the United States, it just went up to number one, and it stayed at number one for 30 weeks. It sold over 30 million copies just in the United States alone, and who knows how many around the world. The number one album this week in 1978 was the soundtrack of the movie Saturday Night Fever, John Travolta movie that all of us, I'm sure, remember going to the movies to watch the movie. I never cared, honestly, that much for the movie. I never thought the movie was that great, to be honest with you. But the soundtrack was great. And I, like many, many other people back then, you know, we fell for the soundtrack and we listened to it. We bought the album or the 8-track tape or the cassette, whatever it was back then. But 44 years today, one of the best-selling albums, I still think it is the best-selling soundtrack album in the history of the country. Soundtrack album, not album, but soundtrack album. Saturday Night Fever, with the music of the Bee Gees. They were the highlight of the soundtrack. 44 years ago, can you believe that? Well, I believe it because I remember it. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.